We're going to begin by reading in Matthew chapter 16. And we are going to read beginning with verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on mine handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to everyone who is here tonight who does not know God's plan of salvation. I want to preach to you that Jesus Christ did not come just to do miracles. He did not come just to do signs and wonders. He did them, but he didn't come just to do them. He didn't come just to prove that he could do something. And he didn't come to prove that he was God. He was God. But he didn't come to prove he was God. He came to die. Now, I've heard it said and preached that Jesus came to prove he was God, but that isn't so. He was God. Didn't have to prove it. He was God. Whether anybody believed it or not, he was still God. And whether people believe it tonight or not, he's still God. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. In him dwelt the total power and the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians, the second chapter, says that we should not be taken with philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Amen. I'm preaching tonight that Jesus Christ is the headship of deity. I'm preaching that in his body was headquartered the Almighty God, the Spirit that made the heavens and the earth, the Spirit that hung the worlds over the empty place, inhabited his flesh. The flesh was born of Mary, but the Spirit that inhabited the flesh was the Spirit that created the worlds. Without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. By him were all things made. By whom? By Jesus Christ. The Bible said he made the worlds by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness comprehended it not. We're going to see if we can do better tonight. We're going to see if we can shine the light in the darkness, and see if the darkness can comprehend the light. Hallelujah! Open your eyes and see the light tonight. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. Open your understanding to who Jesus Christ really is. He's not a fictitious character and stashed away in some godhead, powerless and secondary to other powers. But he is the power of all powers. He simply came in the flesh to show us, hallelujah, that he was concerned about us. Came in the flesh to let us know that he was not going to leave us alone. He came to his own. Hallelujah. What a beautiful story. He came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believe on his name, who were born. Hallelujah. Not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise God. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, Lord, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Jesus said to him, you must be born again. He said, I don't understand. Can a man enter again into his mother's womb the second time and be born? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. I want to tell you that the light can shine if you're willing to be changed. The light can shine if you're willing to repent. The light will shine if you're willing to be born over again. Not back into a natural world, not into a new philosophy, not into a new vein of thinking, but are you willing to be born into God's spiritual kingdom? Do you want to take on something more than flesh and blood? Would you like for the life that was in Christ Jesus to become a part of the life that's in you? Paul said, the life that I live not of myself, but the Son of God. I live his life, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. God has a plan to deliver you out of this present world. And the consummation of this world brings death. But God has a plan whereby he can lift you out of this life with its sin and into the glorious kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Hallelujah. That plan is not given by the will of man. Flesh and blood didn't give that plan. Simon Peter came on it in the Spirit when Jesus was asking the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? While some of them say, Lord, that you're Elias. Others say that you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. But Simon Peter said, and more than just a blustery tongue, more than just a blundering into it, he said, we know who you are, Lord. We know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that must come into the world. What he was really saying is not what the Trinitarians say, not that he was a second person come into the world, but he was saying what the Jews said. The Jews didn't believe in a Trinity. They never knew there was a Trinity because there was no Trinity. He was saying what Isaiah said. Thou art the Christ that must come into the world. How must Christ come into the world? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, Isaiah said. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's how he's going to come into the world. Hallelujah. Simon Peter understood that he would come into the world like Isaiah said. That Jesse was going to have a root and a branch was going to grow out of that root. He was going to be glorious. And the Spirit of the Lord was going to rest upon him. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might and the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding of the fear of the Lord. All of this glorious understanding and all of the majesty that God has. All of the knowledge that God has. All of the power that God has is going to rest on this one that's going to come into the world. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders. His name, not another name, but his name shall be called. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government. He's going to have a government. He's going to have a kingdom. Because he is a king. Hallelujah. And every king must have a kingdom. But Jesus said it plainly, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not going to set up government offices in Jerusalem. I'm not going to rule from the hill, not now. I'm not going to take over the Roman Empire, not now. I'm not going to do away with the Gentile nations, not now. I'm going to wave his face. And Paul put it this way, he chose to take from the Gentile nations a people for his name's sake. He came for a spiritual cause. He came not to divest the thrones of this world at that time, but he came to take away the throne of humanity, to bring men to a discipleship where they would deny themselves. He chose for his throne the heart of mankind and for his kingdom the temple of their body. And to as many as receive him, to them gave he power. One original interpretation said, to them gave he the scepter, and they became princes with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To them gave he power. To them gave he the scepter, and they were ruled as princes with God. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Who is that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. When Simon Peter said, we know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was not putting sonship in the secondary position. He was recognizing the glory and the ultimate power that would happen, that the prophets prophesied about. Hosea, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Daniel. He said that all of these prophecies of the coming Messiah, and especially those spoken of in Isaiah, were coming to pass in Jesus Christ. If that's true, then not only, Simon, will he be the mighty God, but he also is the fleshly man. He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Amazing how it's possible to have part of a revelation and to omit part of a revelation. Simon Peter knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When it came time for him to die on the cross, just like Isaiah, the same prophet prophesied that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace would be on him. With his stripes we are healed. Simon Peter couldn't accept that. He said, Lord, thou shalt never die. If you die, I'm going to go die with you. Isn't it amazing how it's possible to have a portion of God's great grace and to leave another part undone? Isn't it true that many of you folks, before you came into a fullness of the truth, had a portion of the gospel laid in your hearts? Isn't that so? How many of you understood something about repentance before you came to the fullness of the truth? Well, certainly. How many of you heard something that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world? Did you hear that? Well, certainly. How many of you knew that people were baptized in water? You may not have known how, but you knew they were baptized in water. Isn't it amazing how revelation has a way of seeping, a part here and a part there? But somewhere in the fullness of time, he chose to bring together all things in himself, even in Christ Jesus. That's the time I'm preaching about. I'm not talking about a partial revelation, but tonight I'm preaching that the church in this last hour needs the full and total understanding and revelation of what the gospel really is. I'm preaching to you what the plan of the gospel really is. It's not just to believe on the Lord and say, I'm saved, but it's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. And when you're saved, you're free from sin. And when you're saved, you are baptized with His Spirit. And when you're saved, you've got His name on your soul. When you're saved, His blood washes away every sin. You can't take a part and leave the other. You may have had a part, but tonight I preach to you the total revelation that a man coming to God, understanding who he is, may receive in Jesus Christ the absolute and total of his redemption in his death and his burial and his resurrection by being identified with him according to the gospel. Now, Jesus said something very strange, but something very absolute to Simon Peter when he said, now, I call your name Peter upon this rock, or Cephas, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's not talking about just building it on Simon Peter. He's talking about building it on the truth that Simon Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Death can't hold it. The bars of death are not going to keep it in the ground. Everyone say amen. Amen. But then he made one more statement. And I say that I give to you the keys to the kingdom. Now everybody understands that Simon Peter's going to be up keeping the gate. There are all kinds of jokes about that. I've heard people tell all kinds of jokes. Somebody got the gate and said, he said, who's that? He said, it's me. He said, who are you? And they, you know, and they, that's something funny there, you know, and everybody, you know, and everybody laughs. That's a little joke. Well, it's become a joke because it's so light, because it is so mixed up, because it's so warped. Not going to need to be anybody keeping those gates up there. The angels are going to open those gates. Open up, amen, open up ye everlasting gates and be ye opened up and let the King of Glory come in. The angels are going to shout back from the housetops of glory and say, who is the King of Glory? And the saints of all ages are going to say, the Lord God. Who is the King? The Lord God is the King. Whew, the Lord God. Mighty in battle. What battle? The battle against the flesh. He conquered the flesh in his body, in his death on the tree. That's the battle of the ages. Jesus Christ in the flesh conquered the flesh in his own body and died without one remorseful sin in his mouth. There was not any guile found in his mouth. He was the sinless Lamb of God. He proved that it's possible to live in this world and not sin. Hallelujah.
And when the angels say, who is the Lord God of battle, or who is the King of glory, we're going to say, the Lord God mighty in battle, he is the King of glory. You say, how do you know that makes him the King of glory? Because the Bible said he despised the shame, but he sat down on the right hand of God, and he did it all for the glory that was set before him. He's the King of glory because he conquered the glory of the Spirit through the flesh and magnified God in his own weakness. Hallelujah. He died like any mortal man would die, in agony and pain, suffering, groaning, moaning, begging for water. He died choking, coughing, strangling in his own blood. His muscles knotting, his veins bursting, his body turning black. The sky over him, a dark, harassing cloud, turning the noonday into a midnight. The earth underneath him shaking until the graves of the saints were opened. What a day, what a time, what an hour. When the centurion, the soldier that took the hammer and nailed his hands on that tree, looked up at him, shook his head and said, surely, this was the Son of God. He was right about that. Got the right title over his head. They tacked the right tag on the top of that cross. He's the King. Hallelujah. He's the King. Why should kings die? He didn't have to die. Kings ought to reign in majesty. Kings ought to live forever. Kings ought to be draped in honor. But this man in shame, stripped of his clothing, strung up before the whole world, a nude form, mocked by all of those who are supposed to be religious, heralded by the saved people of the day to be a reprobate and a sinner. While he hung, not even speaking for himself, soldiers gambled at the foot of his cross for his garments, leaving him nothing in this world, not even a bed to lay his head on. He said it himself, the foxes have holes, and the birds, they fly away and find a nest for the evening. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The only thing he had were the clothes on his back, and they gambled and took those away while he hung naked on a cross. Left him nothing, nothing but his cause, nothing but the purpose, nothing but the reason. Don't dry up while I preach Calvary to you. It's the most beautiful story in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Praise God. Die, like any normal common man. That proves he's not God. He had to be a man or he couldn't have died, see? That proves he's not anything. He had to be just nothing or he wouldn't have passed away. That's what the world says. They've got to separate him from deity. They can't see that God was in Christ. They don't understand that the whole plan, the total plan of God rests in this whole thing. And that is that God had to be, the total of God, the fullness of God had to be in Christ. Or else the shedding of blood would not have been God's blood. The shedding of blood would not have been redemption for man. It would not have been God's cause, but it would have been the cause of a second. When the devil spawned the Trinitarian formula on the world, he did the best effort that has ever been done for heresy. Doesn't embarrass me to say that. The best effort ever done for heresy. Divided God in the minds of men. Took away the power and the deity of Jesus Christ. How can you have three gods, or one God, three separate persons, distinctly different? Co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. God has never been co-nothing with nothing. I say he's never been co-anything with anything. He never did need anything to help him do what he had to do. He said, when I made the world, I was by myself. Said, I know no other God. I don't know any other God. There was no God formed before me, neither shall there be any God formed after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Hallelujah. That's why I know who talked on the road to Damascus. When he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Whom thou persecutest. I'm saying that Jesus talked to him on the road. Thou art the Christ that must come into the world. Who was coming into the world? God was coming out of the ivory palaces. Listen to the prophet say, he who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Out of the ivory palaces, he left all of the glory, all of the beauty, all of the magnificence of heaven, came among us as one of us, died the death of the cross,
We could erase his memory from our mind, except for the fact that the glory of God that dwelt in his humanity while he healed the sick and raised the dead did not leave him forever in the tomb. You remember that David said it and Simon Peter repeated it in the second chapter of the book from which I take my text tonight. And he said, "Thou shalt not leave his soul in hell or in the grave, nor suffer his Holy One to see corruption." Hallelujah. I'm telling you that his nose didn't fall in on his face. I'm telling you that the skin worms never got to him. I'm telling you that they never ate a bite. Not one molecule of his person was disintegrated. I'm telling you that the Spirit hovered over that grave just long enough for the world to totter. And then he moved back into that body. Jesus said, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He's got to be the mighty God, or he can't talk like that. He's either the mighty God, or he's the greatest imposter the world has ever known. The world says that nobody can raise themselves from the dead. It's because they don't understand the dual nature of his person. He was God and he was man. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Mary. He was the flesh of God, and in him dwelt the Spirit that can never die. When he gave up the ghost on the cross, and when the Spirit left him, the part of him that healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, walked on the water, left him. The thing that raised Lazarus from the dead left him. That holy thing couldn't die. That thing would never die. That's the thing that's in the church that's still alive. It hasn't ever died yet. The Spirit of God hovered over the garden. Watched every dewy morning. Listened to every songbird's sorrowful song. Watched the lilies bow their heads and shamefully only open themselves tenderly to the sun by times. Walked through the shadows of the garden, waiting for the moment when that which was laying there would be raised up in glory. Only long enough to provide a plan. He only laid in the grave long enough to provide a plan. Why wasn't he raised from the dead right off the cross? Why didn't he take him down from the nails when he said, "It is finished," and dropped his head? Why didn't he take him then? Because the prophecy said, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so shall the Son of Man be. He said, "That's the only sign I'm going to give this ungodly generation." Do you know why I was in the grave? It was a sign. "That's a sign I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this generation a sign. I'm going to lay down in the grave for 3 days and not move. I'm going to lay down in the grave with a wall stoned up around it. I'm going to lay down without any oxygen in there. I'm going to lay down without any life in there. I'm going to let him wrap up my body like a mummy and put ointment on it. I'm going to lay there 3 days so nobody can question it." He did it for a sign. In the heart of the earth he laid for 3 days. And then he raised it from the dead to prove he's got power over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mary said, supposing he was the gardener, not supposing he's risen from the dead, not even thinking it could have been the Lord, not even looking at his face, she said, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you laid him, that I may go and take him." How'd she suppose she could take him anyway? How's she going to tote off 180, 90-pound man? Where's she going to put him? Where's she going to hide him? She wasn't even thinking rationally. How could she take him by herself? What would she do with a corpse? How would one of you ladies like to be stuck with a corpse? To hide somewhere? Tell me where you laid him and I'll go take him thence. Take him where? Just take him anywhere. I just want to be close to him. I just want to see him again. I just want to know, even though he's dead, that he's somewhere close by. Hallelujah. Somewhere close by. Why, she's got her face all down, her fingers to her temples. He says to her, "Mary." She said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." She recognized him. She fell down and worshipped him. Standing right beside her and standing right beside you is the good gospel God's given for so long. It's possible for you to be talking to it and wondering where it is while you've been facing it all the time. I'm telling you that the gospel is not just some factitious, outlandish idea of the imagination, But there's a very simple plan whereby you may become a part and a fiber of the gospel. The kingdom of God can take part of your life. Don't take the stories of the Bible and cast them away. When Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," he didn't mean to say, "He that believeth shall be saved." He intended to say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." When he said, "Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things," he didn't mean just go preach the gospel to every creature. He meant to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. That's part of preaching the gospel to every creature, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when Simon Peter got to the day of Pentecost and stood up with the 11 and said, "Men and brethren, these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Well, you're going to see signs and wonders and great things before the coming of the Lord. And this is one of those great things. Well, there's going to be blood, and the moon's going to turn to blood, and there's going to be fire and vapor, smoke, and all kinds of things before the great and notable day of the Lord. And one of the great prophecies is the Spirit of God's going to come on everybody. Now, you can see it. Here it is. Our father David prophesied, and he went on and on and on until after a while they were so pierced in their soul and convinced that Jesus Christ, the one they had crucified, was the King of glory and the Lord of glory, that they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Simon Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." What is he talking about? He's talking about what Jesus talked about. Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He didn't say go baptize him in the title Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said baptize him in the name of the Father, of the Father, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Why don't you come out of the darkness and into the light tonight? Why don't you repent of your sins and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want to be clean." You don't tell me how many churches you belong to. I don't want to know how many times you shook the preacher's hand. I'm not interested in how many times you've been blessed. I want to know, have you been identified with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection? That's God's plan. The same sign that he took by being in the earth for 3 days, you may take by being identified by water baptism with him. You need to go into that water right there tonight in Jesus' name and let one of these elders baptize you for the remission of your sin. You say, "Well, I've received a part of the light. I've got the Holy Ghost." Let me explain to you, hallelujah, that Simon Peter had a part of the light too. When it came time for Jesus to die, he wasn't ready for that. He didn't have that light. He knew he was going to be the Messiah, but he didn't know he was going to be the dying Christ. I've come to tell you tonight that in the end of all things, the consummation of the gospel, Simon Peter is the man that put it all together. He had the keys to the kingdom, not that kingdom, not the doors up there, but the kingdom of God that's within us, God's spiritual kingdom. He had the key. Now, you want to get in God's kingdom? Then you come visit with me tonight. I'm going to take you to Simon Peter. Simon Peter said for you to repent. You want to unlock a safe? Turn it so many to the right, over to 42. Back twice to 30. Over once to 12. And then turn the handle. Safe. You want to be born again? Simon Peter's got the combination. You know why he's got the combination? Because Jesus gave it to him. I didn't give it to him. The United Pentecostal Church didn't give it to him. First Pentecostal Church didn't give it to him. The AMF didn't give it to him. Amen. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, PAFW. No. Before you were here and before I was here. He had it before he got to Pentecost. When he walked on the scene on the day of Pentecost, and they were all worshiping and talking in tongues and sitting around, and everybody said, "What meaneth this?" He had it in his pocket. He knew what to tell them. He was going to open the door to the world to come into the kingdom of God. You want to come into the kingdom of God? He's got the key. He's long dead. He's been long in the grave. But the gospel that he preached and the key that he used is still in our Bible. I've got the key right here. Let me open this old black book and show you what the key is. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, "I can get saved without it." Don't take a chance. You say, "I don't think that's important." Don't count on it. If you want to stand on the summer porch, you may. If you want to swing on the back porch, you might. But friend, I intend to go in the living room of God's experience. I don't plan to be close to it or near it. I intend to be in whatever God is doing. I'm going to be on the inside of God's program.
I don't intend to take a part and leave the rest. That's why I searched the scriptures, and I found out that Jesus Christ was not just a mortal. He was the mighty God in mortality. Hallelujah. And he was the immortal God in immortality. When he rose triumphant over all of the mortality and over all of the corruptible. Hallelujah. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. And that's the reason why if you are born again of the water and the spirit, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body, because he became the first fruits of them that slept. Lots of folks planning to go when Jesus comes. Lots of folks have been buried, and the preacher said nice words over them. When he got through saying all these fine words, they put them in the ground. And then they said, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And then they said, of course, that we give this body to the earth to wait for the resurrection of the just and the unjust in that great day. May the Lord comfort your hearts with the hope of his resurrection. Amen. Now that sounds real liturgical. Oh, they ended by saying, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and lay them down. Now let me explain something to you. Don't let anybody say that over me. I want you to say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Glory to God. You don't have to commit me to nothing. Just as long as my spirit's gone to God that gave it, I'm in good shape. You don't have to commit me to the earth. Just lay me down. Just put me down there. Cover me up. See how quick you can get the dirt on. I'm waiting for the resurrection. I've got what is going to take us out of the ground. It's going to take us out of the earth. How many of you feel it in your spirit tonight? When I preach to you about the gospel, how many of you feel the heaven of rain? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's something about this gospel that rings true. You don't have to hide from it. You don't have to dig around and find a scripture that looks like it means that. You can just read it and there it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. They that gladly received the word were baptized. I think I'll preach on that a while. They that gladly received the word were baptized. They that gladly received the word were baptized. They were added that same day to the church 3,000 souls. They that gladly received the word were baptized. Sometimes we beg folk to get right with God. Beg folk to pray and repent. But I love to see people fall down on their faces and say, I need him. I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need God. I like to see folks convicted of sin, convinced of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And say, I want to get right with God, whatever it takes. You take the Holy Bible and open it up and say, here's God's plan to walk through the gate into a new kingdom. You can walk into God's plan for salvation. Hallelujah. Repent of your sin. Be baptized in water in Jesus' name. You say, why? Because the Bible said we're buried with him in baptism. That like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, we also should rise to walk in newness of life. When I repent of my sin, I'm dying on the cross with him. Everything he did on the cross is happening to me while I say, Lord, take these sins away. You know what happened to him? His flesh died. You know what happens to me when I repent? My flesh dies. My will dies. Everything I plan to be, every place I plan to go, everything I intend on being someday, all of it passes away. I lose my identity with self. I lose my self-will. All of my goals evaporate. I give myself to God completely, totally, without any reservation. I belong to him. Take me, Jesus. Use me. Here I am. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. Now take me and bury me for a sign. What kind of a sign? A sign that I'm obedient to the word of God. A sign that I have walked with him in repentance. Amen. People that won't get in the baptistry and be baptized in Jesus' name have not repented of their sins. Because that's the sign that they're dead. Oh, that's good. Come on, I said that's good. Where's Brother Wright? I need somebody to play the piano. Go ahead, Tim. Can you play the piano? Black style. Praise God. Is that my key? Higher. 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 Hallelujah. Higher. That's good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world says about salvation. The Bible is what's really going to count. That's God's plan. The Word of God.
I'll take God's word over man's word every day. Man can reason all day long and say, but that doesn't seem right. But the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right to men, but the way thereof of the end thereof the ways of death. So what seems right is not necessarily right. I don't want to do what seems right. I want to do what the Bible says is right. You say, what good can water do? Don't ask me what good water can do. The Bible said be baptized in Jesus' name. Now don't argue with me that it won't do any good. It'll do you some good. First of all, it's obedience to the word of God. And if you're not willing to obey God and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin, then you're not worthy of his name. Amen. I'm not being nasty. I just want to be firm with the gospel. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to be lost. I said, well, Brother Hanby, I've done all I think is important to do, and I believe I'm right with God. Don't reason this gospel. You don't get the gospel by reason. You get the gospel by faith, believing in what God says. Did I read it to you tonight, or was I just playing a game? Did I say here, I will give thee the keys? Let's all say keys. Plural, keys. More than one key? Go ahead, Tim. Hallelujah. Let's all say keys. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Keys. Let's all say keys. More than one key? Keys. What are these keys? Keys. Amen. Keys to the kingdom. Keys to the kingdom. Keys to the kingdom. Take out one key and die to the flesh. Repent. Come on, take out another key and be baptized as a sign that you're dead. If you're dead, we need to put you in the ground. If you're not dead, then stand up and argue that water won't do any good. And we know when you argue, you're not dead. Amen. People that are dead want to be identified with him. They want to be identified with him. They love his name. Not ashamed of his name. Hallelujah. Now tell me, who wouldn't want to be baptized in Jesus' name? The Christ that died for them. Say, well, I don't want, what's baptism for? It's a shame that people all over the world claim to be Baptists, claim to be Presbyterians, don't even know what baptism's for and don't know what the laying on of hands is for. Presbyterian means laying on the hands. Baptist means people that baptize. Methodist means people that have a method of holiness and repentance. It's a shame that people can call themselves by all of these forms and plans for finding and reaching after God, and yet when you come right down to it, not very many folks that even call themselves by the name intend to even believe that it's necessary to do what they claim to be. Be baptized, but it's not necessary. The Bible doesn't say it's not necessary. The Bible said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, how can you argue with that? You can argue with that. So, well, I don't think it's important. It's important. Jesus died on the cross. Well, Brother Weiss, let's just suppose that he'd come down from the cross. You know what? Everybody said he wasn't really dead. He wasn't really dead. He just pulled himself off the nails and got down. He didn't die. What if he'd come off the cross? That's what they tried to get him to do. Come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. We'll believe. Did he do that? Brother Lynch, isn't there a pure type in the Bible that said, Jesus said, when they said, show us a sign, they were looking for a sign to prove that he was God. He said he was God. And they said, you show us a sign. What did he say? He said, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. What was he talking about? Talking about his burial. Was he talking about a sign? That's the one sign he said he'd give to the generation. Let's all say one sign. What about healing the sick? No, that's not near the sign that the resurrection of the dead is. When the disciples got ready to preach the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, what did they do? The Bible said, with great power gave they witness of the resurrection of the dead. The greatest sign the world has ever known is that Jesus Christ is alive now. He was dead, but behold, he is alive forevermore. That was the glorious ovation and revelation. Hallelujah. I am he which was dead. Hallelujah. But behold, I am alive forevermore. Have the keys to hell and the grave. Let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. You want to get in God's church? Upon this rock I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You want to be in a church where the gates of hell can't prevail against it? You want to be in a church where you don't have to worry as to whether or not you're saved? You want to be in a place where you don't have to be concerned as to whether or not you're right or wrong? You want to live for God? Do you really want to serve the Lord? Then why don't you take the keys that Simon Peter had that he opened the kingdom on the day of Pentecost with? Why don't you take the keys and take them out and use them? Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the glorious resurrection of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God who giveth us all things liberally to enjoy. What a wonderful gospel. Who in this building has not yet repented of your sins? You need to repent. You're ready to repent. Turn around. Die to the flesh. Walk with God. You're ready to do that? I want to pray for you tonight. Where are folks in here tonight who are ready to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who in here has repented but you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why don't you come now? Stand right here at the front. Let me pray for you. Oh, bless that wonderful name, Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah.